Yes, indeed. Praise the Lord, folks. Let's grab our hymnals for our final hymn tonight and open up to hymn 31. I so look forward to this morning, this glorious morning above. Hymn 31, we'll stand for our final hymn and we'll sing the first and the last, When the Morning Comes. Yeah. Listen.
Trials knock on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God will lead us through that blessed promised land. But He'll guide us with His eye, and we'll follow till we die. We will understand it better by and by.
Amen.
By and by, when the morning comes, then the saints of God are gathered home.
We will
tell the story how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. Temptations in and snares often take us unawares, and our hearts are made to bleed for each thoughtless word or deed. And we wonder why the test when we try to do our best, but we'll understand it better by and by.
Everybody now!
By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints are gone, how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by.
One more time!
By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God are gathered home,
we will
tell the story, how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. We will understand it better by and by.
Thank you, Lord. Great singing tonight, church. Please be seated. I particularly like the old lady in the back that's dancing around there. But she's dancing in the spirit. Praise God. Oh, what a blessing. Rowdy bunch for a Sunday night. Well, let's grab our Bibles tonight, folks. I've been really looking forward to tonight's message, back in our Sunday night series on the place of the dead. We're week 13 tonight, and we got a ways to go. We're probably a little past halfway, but this stuff, because the Bible has so much to say about the unseen world and what happens to a soul after death. So yeah, it's incredible. But part 13. Now, church, as you're opening to Ezekiel chapter 26. Remember that in this series, we're looking at five particular divisions concerning the biblical teaching of the place of the dead. First, we saw the unseen world, and we looked at 13 biblical terms used in describing the unseen spirit realm. Secondly, we will look at the place of the dead in the Old Testament. Thirdly, we'll look at the place of the dead today, under the age of grace. Fourthly, we'll look at the place of the dead in the future, what that will entail. And finally, fifthly, we'll examine some false views concerning the place of the dead because of the fact that there is so much confusion and false teaching today on this subject. You know, I mean, you've got the JWs teaching that there is no hell and that only 144,000 souls are going to make it and the kingdom. And oh my, I mean, you've got all kinds. You've got the Mormons baptizing people for the dead. You've got all kinds of heresy out there because they don't understand the Word of God teaching on this subject. So, we've completed our first division concerning the 13 biblical definitions on the unseen world. But before we begin our second section, folks, which will be the place of the dead in the Old Testament, we need to see three conclusions concerning these 13 terms. First, we must conclude that the Hebrew term Sheol and the Greek word Hades are one in the same place. It's the underworld. Now listen, the location of Sheol / Hades is in the center of the earth, according to Scripture. This fact is clearly seen in multiple passages of Scripture. It's seen in three specific ways in the Bible. First, that in the Old Testament, Sheol, Hades, was called the nether parts of the earth. Nether means nethermost. That means furthest away. Okay, the furthest away you can get from the earth's surface is the center of the earth. We know that. Go with me to Ezekiel 26. Look with me at verse 20. In Ezekiel chapter 26. And thank you. 26 and verse 20. And we read. This is God speaking. When I shall bring thee down, notice that the underworld is down, not up, with them that descend into the pit, with the people of old time, and shall set thee in the low parts of the earth, in places desolate of old, with them that go down to the pit, that thou be not inhabited, and I shall set glory in the land of the living. Yeah, that's the millennial kingdom. Now, because the context there is, of course, second coming and the destruction of Antichrist, and Lord's going to stick them in the pit. Now, go with me to chapter 31 of Ezekiel. In chapter 31, we see this nether parts of the earth over and over and over again. By the way, that word nether that we're reading in these verses, nether, the Hebrew word is tachety. Tachety means the lowest possible. The lowest possible. So, scientists tell us that the lowest possible point on earth is the very center. Okay, we know that. That's why we have volcanoes. The lava comes up. Now, go with me to chapter 31 of Ezekiel, and look with me at verse 14. We won't be long tonight. To the end that none of all the trees... Now, trees in Scripture represent what? People. Right? Jesus, the fellow came to Jesus and said, I see men walking as trees. And he said, oh, let me fix that, the blind man in Luke chapter 9. Let me adjust that vision. And then he saw him clearly. To the end that none of all the trees by the waters exalt themselves for their height, neither shoot up their top amongst the thick boughs, neither their trees stand up in their height. That's pride. All that drink water, for they are all delivered unto death. To see, it's talking about people. To the nether parts of the earth, that's lowest. In the midst of the children of men, with them that go down to the pit. Okay, so clearly we're seeing that Sheol slash Hades, the underworld, is in the center of the earth. The Bible is teaching that very clearly. And look with me at verse 16. Same chapter. I made the nations to shake at the sound of his fall, Antichrist. When I cast him down to hell, Sheol, with them that descend into the pit, and all the trees of Eden, the choice and the best of Lebanon, all that drink water shall be comforted in the nether parts of the earth. The nether parts of the earth, lowest. Verse 18. To whom art thou thus like in glory and in greatness amongst the trees of Eden? Yet thou shalt be brought down with the trees of Eden unto the nether parts of the earth, lowest. Thou shalt lie in the midst of the uncircumcised with them that be slain by the sword. That's that sword Val was talking about coming out of the mouth of Messiah. This is Pharaoh, at type of Antichrist, and all his multitude, saith the Lord God. Now notice in verse 18, we get further information on these people that are going to Hades. They're uncircumcised. And he's not talking physically. You know that. Yeah. Uncircumcised in heart. They're unsaved. Okay. They've not had their sins cut away by the operation of God. Chapter 32 of Ezekiel. Chapter 32, and then we'll move on. In chapter 32, look with me at verse 18. Chapter 32, verse 18, we read, Son of man, wail for the multitude of Egypt. Egypt is a type of the world, the lost world. And cast them down, even her and the daughters of the famous nations, unto the nether parts of the earth, with them that go down into the pit. Verse 24, there is Elam and all her multitude round about her grave, all of them slain, fallen by the sword, which are gone down, uncircumcised, into the nether parts of the earth. Not 6 feet under, but the nether parts of the earth, which cause their terror in the land of the living. Yet they have borne their shame with them that go down to the pit. People who die unsaved, unforgiven, will bear their shame of their sin forever. Isn't that horrific? Isn't that sad?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, secondly, in three ways we see that the underworld is in the center of the earth. First, that it's called the nether parts of the earth. Secondly, in the New Testament, we also find Sheol / Hades being described as resting in the center of the earth. Go to Ephesians chapter number 4. I mean, God's Holy Spirit couldn't make it any clearer than he has that this place, Sheol / Hades, which is hell, and its various compartments, I should say, is in the center of the earth. Yes, Tartarus is. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute, as a matter of fact. Ephesians chapter 4, what happened when Jesus Christ died on the cross? They took his body down and put it in the sepulchre. But where was his soul? His soul wasn't in the sepulchre. His soul went down. It went down to paradise. Remember that? To Abraham's bosom? Look with me at Ephesians chapter 4. And look with me at verse number 9. We read, "Now, that he," speaking of Jesus Christ, "now that he ascended," what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? Did you see how the King James Bible interprets itself right there? He didn't say nether. He interpreted nether as the lowest part of the earth, the center of the earth. "He that descended," Jesus Christ, "is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers." Now notice here, clearly, that we see that Jesus Christ went, his soul, to the center of the earth after he died on the cross. Now, why did he do that? Well, he had to go get something. All the Old Testament saints that were in Abraham's bosom. And what he did is he went down and he said, "Boys, I've paid the price. You're free if you want to come with me. Let's go." And guess what? They all did. They all did because they were waiting for their Messiah. See, everybody who was left behind was on the other side of the gulf in the hell section. None of those were let out. Okay. Now, clearly we see here that the nether parts of the earth are the same as the lower parts of the earth. Thirdly, why do we know it's in the center of the earth? Thirdly, we know its location in the center of the earth because Jesus Christ himself revealed its location to the apostles. Go to Matthew chapter number 12. Jesus himself told his disciples where Sheol / Hades was. In Matthew chapter number 12. Look at this. Verse 38. Don't miss this. "Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master." Now, they don't mean it. Did you know that you can call Jesus Master and not mean it? These guys did. And they went to hell like a bullet. Because it doesn't matter what you say. It matters what's in your heart. Amen? Look at, "Saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah," Greek Jonas, "was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights," where? "In the heart of the earth." Not on the surface, not in the sepulchre, but in the heart of the earth. Now somebody tell me, where's the heart of the earth?
The center.
That's right, Val. It's right deep down. Yeah, that's why they say, you got to believe deep down in the heart. Why? Because that's in the center. That's inside. And Jesus says here that I'm going to go to the heart, center of the earth, after I die on the cross and pay the price for your sins. Isn't that good? Now, because we know where Sheol / Hades is, center of the earth, we also know that it is only temporal, because at the close of the millennium, right, when this earth is completely destroyed, Peter Peter described it as being dissolved with fervent heat, okay? Then Sheol slash Hades will be destroyed along with the earth, because it's part of the earth, okay? We also safely conclude that Sheol slash Hades has two primary compartments within it. First, for the righteous of the Old Testament, there was Abraham's bosom. This was a place of perfect bliss, peace, and rest. It was beautiful, okay? No suffering whatsoever. But secondly, there was another section for the unrighteous, both human and angelic. There is the part called hell. Now, this second compartment contains three subdivisions. Pastor, where do you get all this? From the Bible.
Amen.
You know me, I'm a study hog. I'm in that book. Three subdivisions in the hell section. Let me give them to you. One of those subdivisions is for unsaved human beings. One of those subdivisions is for fallen angels. And the third subdivision is for fallen angels from Genesis chapter 6, which sinned a particular sin. Okay? Three subdivisions. Marian mentioned one of them, which is Tartarus. Now, first of all, let's look at them quickly. For the unsaved humans, there is hell, the hell section of Sheol slash Hades. This is Hades proper. It's the proper name, in other words, for hell. This first section is also known by two other terms in the Bible, the pit and Abaddon. Okay? Now, don't worry, if you're not taking notes, this message will be on the website, because I'm giving you a lot tonight in a short space. The pit and Abaddon is also, when you see those words, it's talking about hell, and it's talking about people that go there. Now, the second compartment is called the abyss. The abyss is the present, temporal place of confinement for fallen angels, the ones who chose to follow Lucifer when he rebelled in heaven. One third of the angels went with him. Then, the third section is called Tartarus. This is the one Marian mentioned, which is the hottest of all. Tartarus is called in 2 Peter chapter 2, the lowest hell. And the context is angels that sinned, okay? This is the actual place of temporal incarceration for the fallen angels, which sinned in Genesis chapter 6, which sin produced the Nephilim of Noah's day. So, this is our conclusion, considering Sheol slash Hades, that is the underworld, containing four specific compartments. Abraham's bosom, which is now vacant. Hell, commonly called the abyss and Tartarus. The two other sections of the abyss and Tartarus. Four sections. Now, for our second conclusion, that was our first conclusion, that all that is in the center of the earth. Our second conclusion, we must see that the terms Gehenna and the lake of fire are also speaking of one and the same place. Okay? Gehenna, Old Testament Hebrew, lake of fire, New Testament. This place, Gehenna, being the Hebrew Old Testament term, the lake of fire being the New Testament term. Now, this lake of fire will be the final abode of the unrighteous, both human and angelic. It's not going to be four sections. One lake of fire, and they'll all be burning forever. Now, we must realize here that Sheol slash Hades is only the temporal holding place of the unrighteous, whether they be in hell, the abyss, Tartarus, or Gehenna. Gehenna, which is the lake of fire of the New Testament, will be the eternal abode, okay, of both human and angelic wicked. All right. The third conclusion we must make, and I'll be done, is that concerning the biblical term heaven, I like this part. I gave you the bad news first. Here's the good news. Heaven. Five things we must conclude concerning the term heaven. First, that heaven is the current and eternal abode of the triune Godhead. God is home is heaven. Okay? Secondly, that heaven is the eternal abode of the elect angels, which stood when the fallen angels fell and left their own habitation to follow Satan. At that point, listen to me, when the angels fell with Lucifer and he became Satan, the standing angels became what we term theologians term confirmed in grace. The standing angels can never fall. They can never lose their standing before Jesus Christ as his servants. Never. Why? Because they're confirmed in grace, like you are. You and you, okay? Now, this is because when they chose, by an act of their free will, we love Jesus Christ, we worship Jesus Christ, we will not go with Lucifer. God, the Father, confirmed them. And it's okay, you'll be here forever. They made a choice to make heaven their home, just like you have. This is good stuff. They didn't receive salvation, because they never sinned. But they had to make a choice where they would spend eternity. See, all created intelligences choose where they will spend eternity. All of them, whether angelic or human. Now, they have eternal security. Like us, they can never fall from God's grace. Thirdly, that heaven is the eternal abode of all true believers who have died physically and gone there over the past 2,000 years. Fourthly, that heaven is the present location of paradise. Remember, paradise is where God's presence is. Paradise, it used to be in Abraham's bosom. It's not there no more. Paradise is the location in heaven. It was once located in Abraham's bosom. Finally, fifthly, we conclude that heaven and the New Jerusalem are virtually one in the same place. Okay? Revelation 21, verse 2, don't turn there, but John says clearly, it reveals that he sees heaven, the New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven and resting, just hovering over the new earth, which has not yet been created, okay? So heaven and the New Jerusalem, you can basically switch terms. They're the same thing, all right? New Jerusalem is part of heaven. We know that. All right. So we see that one day heaven is coming down to the new earth. That as the body of Christ, his bride, we will spend eternity in the celestial city, New Jerusalem, real close to the King of Kings. Why? Because we embraced him as our beloved bridegroom. Amen? And we are his bride. All right. Clearly, this reveals heaven coming down to hover over the new earth in Revelation chapter 21. Now, the new earth, remember, has not yet been created. We are living in a corrupt earth. Anybody? Yeah, we all know that. A corrupt, sinful, evil place. You know what God's going to do? He's going to destroy it. He's going to wipe it out. Yeah. There'll be no more evil when our Lord gets through with this place. And when he creates that new earth, it's indestructible, by the way, and it's eternal. This one, don't listen to Jack Van Impe. This earth is not eternal. This earth is temporal. The new earth, which he confuses with the temporal earth, that will be eternal. Praise the Lord for that. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for part 13. And thank you for these three incredible conclusions concerning the 13 biblical terms for the unseen world. Lord, we thank you that your word teaches truth by your spirit. And Lord, we thank you that we are not deceived tonight. We know the truth because of the spirit of truth who indwells us. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that just like you said, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. What a privilege to be led and guided by the hand of God's Spirit in paths of truth. Lord, if there's ever a time in the history of the world that this world needs truth, it's today. We got a bunch of liars out there, Lord. Even the politicians are liars. And Lord, we just thank you for that you cannot lie. Let every man be a liar, but let God be true. And Lord, we thank you for your word, which is eternal truth. And thank you for your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' precious name, the people said, amen. 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 Praise the Lord, folks. Let's sing one tonight in closing. Oh, it's so good to know that heaven is our home. By God's grace, we will arrive one of these days. 195. Here's what we need to do. Where'er we go, take that blessed name with us. You can't go wrong when Jesus' name is with you. Devils tremble at that name. I'm glad. Take the name of Jesus, and first, third, and fourth, people, will stand.
195.
Yes, 195. Great words.
Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then wherever you go. Precious name, oh how sweet, oh what our souls with joy. When His loving arms receive us, and His songs our tongues implode.
Think about it, church.
Precious name, oh, how sweet. Oh, birth and joy of heaven. Precious name. At His feet, King of kings in heaven reigning, as we stand in Him complete. Precious name, oh how sweet, over earth and joy on earth. Precious name.
Indeed. Praise the Lord for that name. Amen. Where would we be without it? Oh, praise the Lord. Brother Dave, dismiss us in prayer at this time. Wednesday night, if you can.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word tonight. We thank you for this gathering.
Mm.
We thank you for our pastor and how precious he is to us. We just continue to pray for him. And
yes.
Church to bring back unity to it.
Mm.
We just ask you for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord, people.